I remember a fellow I worked with in my first job out of college. He worked in our sales department. He was what you might call a corporate rebel. When I started working at the company, he would say things that would really uplift somebody just starting a new job and a new career. Things like, we're all just cogs in the corporate machine. Or, we're just employee numbers representing X dollars of profitability. Add to that, he was often absent at sales meetings. He was always grumbling about the sales manager. And yet, when it came time for the sales reports to come out, he was always near the top or at the top of the list. So, in terms of attitude and beliefs about the company, he wasn't much. But in terms of doing what the company paid him to do, he was spot on. A little bit like the one brother in Matthew's gospel. The one who says no to his father, but winds up doing what the father wanted. Of the two brothers, we might guess that he was the one who quibbled with his father, made him pull his hair out, gave him sleepless nights. But when the day is done and all the smoke clears, he is the one who actually does what the father wants to be done. In the life of faith, could it be the same way? Could our official yes to God turn out to be no in reality? Or can the opposite be the case as well? On the one hand, we have what we could call our long-term yes to God. That's the yes that happens early, at baptism, when either we ourselves or more likely our parents and godparents say yes to God on our behalf. Yes to a life of faith, faith that's lived out in the church. And then there are nights like tonight and countless other weekend masses, Saturday evening and Sunday masses, where we say yes to God by gathering, by hearing God's word, and receiving the gift of Holy Communion. But here's when we start to waffle. It's in our everyday lives, in which we are asked to say yes or no to God. And even here, in these everyday decisions, if we knew that God was asking us to make a choice for God's way, we would most likely answer what? Yes. But how often do we neglect to see God in these choices? To be kind or unkind? To be just or unjust? To be compassionate or vindictive or indifferent? And if we don't see God involved in these many daily choices, we, in effect, could be saying no, or maybe not saying anything at all to God for much of our daily lives. Mahatma Gandhi, you recognize that name, was the great Hindi leader, nonviolence, and he led the movement towards India's independence from colonial rule. He studied the Bible, and he studied the basic Christian creed about Jesus. And he thought Jesus to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, teacher in the history of the world. But his experience with Christians in that time in India was far from inspiring. Much of in that time in which he lived, the condition of Christianity was very much tied, so strongly tied to the West in its culture, its traditions, and so forth. And he had a lot of trouble, trying to reconcile that with the culture that he grew up in. Add to that experiences he had of wanting to attend a Christian church and being denied at the doorway because he was of a low caste and not the right race. But he still held Christ in the highest esteem. And he was once asked, well, if you hold Christ to be that much, that great, why don't you yourself become a Christian? And he answered, I would be a Christian if it weren't for Christians. Now granted, he's basing his judgment on his experience. Our experience, I suspect, is very different. Many of us, most of us, can point to those few individuals who have crossed our paths in life. Maybe they're members of our families, maybe not. But people that, maybe they're not saints, but they have revealed Christ to us in their attitudes, in their words, and most of all, in their actions. But Gandhi's statement is worth our attention. Because when Christians live in name only, not much more than a badge they wear or a box they check on a questionnaire, if they live that way as nominally, not only are their lives impoverished, but the whole mission of the church to be the saving action of God, that whole mission is impoverished. It's been said before, and it's worth repeating. We can worship God in church only as well as we worship God outside church. If we grumble a little along the way, God can handle it. If we struggle along the way, God can handle it. But God has given us a way of life, and he expects us to live it. Let our amens at communion express our commitment to live it.